Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I believe today I am Alistair Tremblay Birchall with a George William in between those, some of those words.
Yes, yes.
Alistair George William Tremblay George William Birchall.
Mm-hmm. You can... You can buy as many George Williams as you want and add them as optional extras, sold separately.
I thought that was a Wheel of Fortune reference about buying vowels instead of buying Tremblay Birchalls.
I mean, it's such a big swing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it'd be great if it was all vowels, all the normal letters and then the vowels, and then you could buy a Tremblay Birchall.
Yeah.
Very rare that that's going to fit into the word, but God, if you did, imagine. And the fact that you have to pay for it as well. It's not that you got to buy the Tremblay Birchall.
Yeah. Well, or else you got to guess every letter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I think it needs to fit in there in full. I don't think you're, anyway, Alistair. That doesn't matter, okay? What does matter is this. Do you think this is a sketch idea, all right?
Yeah.
You know, monks who spend all this time sitting on the top of a mountain trying to achieve a sort of state of mental or whatever?
Yeah.
Right? Couldn't we just grab a couple of those guys?
Yeah.
Right? And then, like E.T., chuck them on a slab, okay? Probe them, their brain and stuff. Find out exactly what the chemical makeup is of their mind. And then just put that into a drink or maybe a smoothie. Maybe a sort of like an energy drink, like a V or something like that. Have some kind of monk extract that you can get. And it as well as giving you energy...
Yeah.
Right, and letting you party all night long, it also gives you inner peace.
So it's essentially just MDMA.
Well, I mean, if that's what we find out that's what it is, sure.
Yeah.
But you know, it contains monk extract.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
So we just have to let, like, it's just, we basically just turn one of those. Fact, like one of those things into a sort of a brain chemical factory, and we take their brain chemicals.
And we take their brain chemicals, and we put it into energy drinks, into Monster. So it's still Monster or Mother or whatever.
Yeah.
But now with monk extract.
Would it be Monkster?
Monkster. Right. I see what you're saying. Yes, Monkster. It's now called Monkster.
I mean, we don't have to do that, Andy. That's
no.
So
maybe it doesn't need to have caffeine. Maybe it doesn't need that stuff, but it still has the same branding, the same look as all those really intense energy drinks.
Yeah, but the thing that it does is that it gives you focus and stuff. So it's not that we're like milking the brains of these guys. It's that we're somehow. Oh no, we
synthesizing
are
synthesizing the chemical. I mean, we might be milking their brains.
So we say, we're going to do tests on you, and we put little suction cups and stuff on their foreheads.
Mm,
but what they really are, they have little micro needles in them that you can't feel.
Yes,
and they're so small that they
can
actually go through the pores of the bone in the skull.
It's a great idea.
And they can go straight into there, and they just extract small amounts of liquid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Drainage, my boy.
Drainage.
Drainage. Anyway, I think a macho branded energy drink or possibly bodybuilding smoothie or something.
Yeah.
Something with an ad with a lot of screaming in it and a lot of roaring.
Yeah,
but
I
also,
do like that a lot.
You become one with everything.
Yeah, that's really nice. I mean, you're apart from the screaming bit, I mean, that can happen, but it mostly sounds like you're talking about psychedelics.
Maybe I am. Yeah. Maybe I am, but I'm making it from the brain of the most, guys have done all the work. I initially was thinking of something that would be like, you know, sometimes you want to take a deep breath to stay, to stay calm or whatever, to recenter yourself and focus on your breathing. But it would be great to be able to take deep breaths, deep healing breaths, without having to focus on your breathing. And I was imagining swallowing some kind of spring-loaded contraption that forces your lungs open, right? Maybe it's synced up to an app on your phone or something, and it does it automatically.
Wait, so how?
To really fill your lungs.
So wait, what does it do? Wait, it's like you're wanting to take a deep breath without having to what? Focus?
Without having to take a moment to focus on your breathing, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a lot of people don't have time to take a moment to focus on their breathing. They want to have those deep healing breaths, right? To clear out their lungs and, you know, and have all the benefits.
Yeah,
they don't want to, close their eyes and feel their chest expanding and doing all the stuff that you're supposed to do it in the right way. Be great if there was a thing that I could buy that would just do it for me, right? Well, and I'm imagining it's like basically a reverse rabbit trap where instead it's got a big spring, possibly teeth, and instead of closing, it opens.
Like a bear trap?
Like a bear trap, yeah.
So I think...
In your lungs.
I think the part that I'm getting confused with, because I do love the idea of a thing that's like, it meditates for you, so you don't have, so you can focus on doing other things.
Yes.
Right. But I don't think it's entirely in the breathing.
No. Well, I mean, yeah, this one isn't, I guess so.
But it's like,
My watch sometimes tells me to take a breath. It says, take a minute for yourself. And then it has a little thing that appears on the screen.
Sort of interrupts
your day. And you're supposed to breathe
in,
hold your breath. And Hey.
Hey.
Hey, take a minute for yourself. Hey, take a minute for yourself. Hey. So it'd be great if it could just do it and I didn't have to get distracted.
Yeah.
Force my lungs open for me.
I do like big healing breaths. I mean, what's a way of tricking your brain into focusing on something, but then so that you can just watch TV while it's doing that?
I think this could probably be done.
It's like peripheral TV or something like that.
I wonder if there's a way to do it just like one eye at a time. Like if we had that thing where, that they've done with epilepsy patients where they sever the two hemispheres of the brain.
Yeah.
And you can basically show something to one side of the brain and you have an unconscious experience of that. It'd be great if, you know, the conscious side of your brain, and then you could, like dolphins, how they sleep half their brain at once.
Yeah.
Half of your brain could be meditating while the other half is watching TV once.
Yeah, and it just, I would really like that.
You know. Yeah.
I think products for
hacking, you know, yeah. I mean, we have had the idea of like a hyper intense, almost like the CrossFit or the F45 of meditation, where it is in a really intense. Maybe you do stations or something like that, and you can get
meditation.
The same meditative gains that you would get over years of isolation
and years
reflection.
Sitting in a cave.
Yeah. But now you can get that in like a 4-week program for the busy.
They just put you in a completely soundproof chamber and the lights completely off. You could be, I guess it could be one of those sensory deprivation tanks maybe, but like I suppose you could be up to goo. Up to your, you have to tilt your head up and have your mouth at the top, and then the rest of your body is covered in sort of body temperature goo.
Yeah. This feels like it would help. I also think that it's possible that it's like boiling an egg, where You know, because maybe you can achieve nirvana quicker at different pressures. So, you know, you do get a lot of monks on the top of mountains. Well, maybe that suggests to me that the higher the altitude, the lower the atmospheric pressure, the quicker you can achieve enlightenment. And maybe if you're in near vacuum conditions, you'd be able to do it a lot faster.
So, because there's air getting in the way.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Which is weird. That doesn't really square with the opening your lungs and breathing deeply thing. But
yeah, but maybe you're trying to breathe the air out from around your head.
Right. And I imagine that if there's very low pressure all around you, your lungs will expand anyway, relatively speaking.
Yeah, right. I wonder if you can feel it on your lungs. You know, I feel like I got wide lungs right now.
Real wide?
Hey, fill wide?
I said real wide.
Fill
wide. Now, what is that? Phil Wang? But is that a different version of Phil Wang?
You're thinking of Phil Chode. Is that what you were thinking of when I said that?
No.
When you said that I was thinking that? Like Phil Wide was a version of a penis? You were thinking of a wide penis.
I was not. Wang. No. What were you thinking of when you said Phil Wide?
Well, I wasn't thinking when I first said it. You see, I was using a program where you did a lot of the thinking for me, and then I would just mishear some of it and then take ideas from that. Okay.
Maybe that's the only kind of creativity that's left for us, you know, because. AI can now do everything else, but can they do that thing that they do so well on Comedy Bang Bang where somebody mispronounces a word and then they roll with it?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if AI will ever have the technology to mishear something.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of little data corruption. Maybe that is where true creativity occurs in mishearing. It's actually in making mistakes, and that is the way in which you can be surprised.
I did just see a video of a photographer, and she was taking a photo, and she's using like really old equipment, and she was like, the key is to fuck it up a little bit, but not so much that it's ruined, because it's in the fuck up that that it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, those old photos where there is some weird artifact on the screen, things get overlaid, or there's like a bit of a weird orange line or a bit of flare
or
something. Those are the ones that get turned into the indie band's album covers, not the perfect photos.
No. I mean, they might take some perfect photos depending on what kind of indie band you are, you know?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
Now, so we've got two ideas here today, Andy. What about, you know, like lizards? You know those lizards that just like in Australia? I don't even know what they are, but you mostly just see them running away.
Yeah.
But they, cowards. You know, like they don't, what is it?
They're cowards.
Oh, yeah, they're cowards. Yeah. But I mean, that's our full relationship with them, is that I guess they don't mind living near us. But they don't want to be near us in any way, kind of, you know. It's really living right on the edge.
You want a lizard that runs towards you? Is that what you'd like?
I mean, it would be a different relationship. I'm just saying that my whole relationship with these things is that they see me and then they flee. But they do live amongst me.
Amongst you. If you can live amongst an individual. I mean, I think, you know, what would it be like if, you know, that you could write this in a story about somebody who they wake up one day and all animals are attracted towards them.
So this is in a loving way, or is this in a violent way?
I don't think we know. We just know that animals just start to approach them.
I've heard of an anime where like all animals start to turn against us. But I think that could definitely be done in a funny way. But also, the fact that animals would start to feel very amicably towards us, like even ants.
Yeah.
Right. That would actually be almost as disconcerting.
Yeah, and You know what I reckon it would be? I reckon it would be a harbinger, a prelude to an alien invasion. I think they probably put something in the atmosphere that makes all creatures amicable and loving, right?
A bit of monk extract.
They get the monk extract and they put it into the water supply, into the atmosphere, chemtrails, yeah. Man. And suddenly everything's just like benign. Everything's benign. The lions are lying down with the lamb, right? And if the lion gets hungry, the lamb will climb into its mouth because we're nobody's any longer fighting anything. And then the aliens will invade. But then
we would be under the influence of these chemicals as well. And so then we would probably feel amicably towards the aliens.
Yeah, indeed. And then they kill us.
No, but think about it. Like, I mean, if those Pentagon aliens, right?
I know the ones you mean.
Yeah, you know the ones in the Pentagon videos, the ones that they said yes, the UFOs or whatever, the UFOs and that.
Yeah.
If they have just been here the whole time, right? Those same kind of like the same reports of like, you know, First or Second World War or whatever, when people say that they, you know, pilots would say that they had seen things following their planes, right? I think that's where the term Foo Fighters comes from, right? It was those things. If this was a real thing and they were just studying us to find out how that they could just make us non-violent and then they could just come and then we're like, man, we're so glad to see you all. Like that. And that's just, they just need to, you know, study generations and generations, see how, you know, how we work our weapons, see how we can, you know, and then they're like, man, they show up and they're like, we're so glad you guys have made it. You're now at the level where we can hang out. And they're like, what do you want to do? And we're like, I don't know. What do you want to do? And they're like, have you ever had a bong?
Yes. Yes. Here we go.
But I
think it would be interesting if we were all peaceful. We were all peaceful and we all knew that it was wrong, right? We knew something was wrong. We knew that but everybody was peaceful and we were trying to find a way to make ourselves violent and angry again. This feels like a bit of right-wing fantasy literature or something. But like that we know this attack is coming and maybe the attack is happening and it's very slowly. And like we're having meetings where, the aliens are just moving around incredibly slowly, taking people out, killing people or whatever, but nobody's resisting. Nobody's able to resist. But we are like having meetings and talking about it and trying to work out how we can get, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I like this, but I think that it works better for me if they're not actually trying to kill us. I think that it's like a right-wing person. Like they're actually living in harmony with us, but then they're joining our community. They're building their own buildings, that kind of stuff. And there's a right-wing person who's trying to remember what they used to do and
what the problem was. Yeah,
what is the problem? And then they go, we need to find our hatred again. Because this is not...
Make America hate again.
I can't.
Mate, here we go.
I can't, for the life of me, think about a single argument why we should stop this. But
I mean, it does sound like it is a form of colonialism. Like, it can't be completely benign if they're doing that, surely, right? I mean, maybe it is. Maybe there is literally no problem with it. Maybe the aliens being here and building their homes and just living alongside us. Maybe it's completely fine.
Andy, it's essentially multiculturalism. And it's like somebody has to work hard to just truly find a real problem with it. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, they're not blending. It's like, shut up. Just stop trying to find a problem with it. We're all living side by side and it's great.
Yeah. Right. So there's no, there's literally no problem with it.
Mm.
There's no problem with it. They're not clogging up the roads or whatever people usually say. Yeah.
It's like even if you're living in a place where there's a billion people, some countries manage to make it work and we'll manage to make it work.
Mm.
It'll be different. Mm. It will be different. You're right. Who cares? Things are always different.
Mm. Do we have a cultural exchange with them, or are they just living separately? You know, like are they amongst us, but then, you know, maybe their houses are this sort of weird flower type thing that's got a really thin stalk, so they're kind of up in the sky anyway. And then, you know, maybe when they travel through sound waves or something, so it's not really, they don't use any of our same anything, they're just present.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but I think if you're seeing each other and interacting with each other in any way, it's
you
impossible.
Can't help but
that's what it is. That's what cross like cultural stuff is, because you will just see people doing things and then you'll be like, I should try that.
Yeah, I'm learning a lot from this.
I don't know. Don't know. But I don't know how you can't influence each other if you see each other.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
Through any kind of senses.
Yeah.
Sorry if I've ruined your idea.
No. I mean, I wouldn't claim to have had an idea, and I think yours is probably a lot more unique in terms of, you know, this kind of a story. So,
what about this? Do you think that there's any ways to hack like a dog's digestive system so that you can make them poop out something that's edible for us?
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Like,
okay.
You can feed them stuff that they like.
Yep.
And then, you know, and that also that their body wants and needs, but then the waste product of that is something that is actually ready to eat just as it comes out.
I mean, and this is great in the very long term. I'm going to say that the transition period during which we have both types of dogs, both the ones that poop out delicious edible food and the ones that poop out the most disgusting thing you've ever imagined, that's going to be awkward, you know. But it always is, I think. That's the hardest time. It's the J curve or whatever, but you'll reach a...
How hard it would have been when, like, elevator doors, you know, those elevator doors that shut and that you can put your arm in between and it stops the door from shutting on your arm. Mm. There would have been a time when those were
some
around, but then there were also the ones that didn't shut, that didn't stop, and they would shut on your arm and break your arm.
And tear your arm off and then pull off all of your skin.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we've talked about those on the podcast before. It's a great idea.
I think about big metallic doors a lot because I used to hear a lot. I mean, I guess you still hear about it every now and then where like somebody's died from a garage door or something like that.
Mm.
And I'm constantly surprised by that.
Yeah, that one's a lot to think about. How does that happen? Is it them crawling underneath it?
I don't know. I don't know.
They're trying to crawl underneath and it starts closing, or
I don't know.
Because you're right, it's not it wouldn't be easy to do.
Yeah,
you'd have to really work at it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know if it's just like, it just, does it just come down and then your neck is underneath and then you're laying down and it closes on your neck?
You're laying down. I guess you've got to be laying down.
But I mean, maybe if it hits your head on the way down, then maybe it knocks you down or you're, you know,
what about
if you're frail.
What about this? Okay, what about this? You are lying under the garage door on a sunbed and you're sleeping. Okay. Because I can imagine somebody doing that. I can imagine people sunbathing in their driveway, okay? I can imagine some people sunbathing on a banana lounge or whatever, just there under the door's just open, they've got their head just there.
Yeah.
The garage is open. And then I can imagine the remote control for the garage is somewhere else in the house and the kids grab it and start playing with it.
Yeah.
And then because they're sleeping, that thing starts coming down. I can see it now. This is a realistic scenario.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And so then, it just comes down on the neck, right on the jugular.
Right on the jugula.
Jugula.
And, yeah.
Is it AR at the end, jugular? Or is it jugula?
I think it is.
Jugular.
Oh, I think it is AR.
Jugular. I think every time I say jugular, it makes me think about a Jaguar.
A jaguar who's juggling.
A juggling jaguar's jugular.
Mm.
The juggling jaguar dropped a ball on his jugular, eating his curds and whey.
Jugular. Mm. He sounds like he's Dracula, right? But instead of instead of drinking blood,
he drinks
large containers of, I guess, cordial, or he drinks
big cordial or soft ceramic drink bottles of sort of fermented mead and artisan beers and things like that. Because that's what
there must be a market to. Yes.
No, hit me, Andy.
Well, there must be a market to build a, you know, because you have obviously milk, you know, milk cartons and those little fruit boxes that you can drink from, that sort of thing. There must be and they've got that little tiny little aluminium hole that you can pierce with your straw. There must be a market to make one that is in the shape of a neck or possibly a person's head that you can, and that little bit of aluminium foil is on the side somewhere so that you can bite into it with your teeth and suck the juice out like a vampire.
Yep, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
They must exist. I don't know what you're drinking. I mean, tomato juice seems a bit cliche.
Yeah. Hang on.
Maybe it is red wine. Maybe
did you wake up
maybe
already?
It's a good...
Sorry. Did you wake up already? Yeah. Okay. oh, my God. How did you wake up? No, don't click that. Okay, wait. Oh, my God. Okay, you got to stay away from that.
Alistair,
Hang on. Just 1 second. I'll be right back. I just got to at least try to get... I'm just alone with the kids, so I have to just get this one entertained. I'll be 1 second, okay?
Yeah, no worries. I think, you know, I think there's no reason this couldn't be called the jugular. It could be an alternative to cask wine, as I say, that you suck, you bite into the... The cask wine box is made in the shape of a head, a human head, and you do bite into the plastic and pierce it with your teeth, and then you do suck the red wine out of the bottom of the cask. Is that crazy? Is that crazy? It's, you know, they already have Crystal Head vodka, you know, the Dan Aykroyd. We know that people like to drink things out of things that are shaped like heads. Why are we? And we know that the that there's already this great cultural cachet associated with vampirism. I think it just makes sense.
Or is this back?
Oh no! I was literally just repeating myself. But now I'm picturing it as a sort of a way to drink casked red wine out of a head shaped wine box with the goon bag inside, and you are draining it out via the neck. Maybe you bite into it. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's just got a little nozzle. But it is a very vampire-y type experience. I don't know if it's Halloween. I think I'm picturing it's quite a classy product. You know, it could be up there. You know, it could be with one of your Grange Hermitages and your Penfolds, whatever's.
Shaped like a head.
Yeah, yeah.
Shaped like Dan Aykroyd's Crystal Skull Vodka.
I have already mentioned Dan Aykroyd's Crystal Skull Vodka. That's the skull.
Oh, yes.
Okay, but what about the flesh around it?
Yes, that's right. But I think this guy who... Oh, my God. Am I still recording? Hang on. Just make sure that I am. Yep. Okay, great. Jugular.
this vampire.
The vampire, but every 24 hours, he has to at least drink a little bit of liquid from a jug or else he dies. to me.
And he says, "I want to drink from jugs." That's his catchphrase.
Yeah, and he has to work really hard.
And he also
hard.
Says, "I do not drink wine unless it's from a jug."
Yeah.
He also says that.
But he also has to work really hard to make sure that nobody misinterprets as a weird like boob thing or whatever. He doesn't refer to boobs as jugs.
Maybe he can also drink from jugs.
But another Dracula, Dracula who has to drink breast milk.
Yeah.
And he's a bodybuilder as well.
Yeah.
And it's a bodybuilder vampire who has to drink breast milk.
He needs colostrum.
He needs colostrum, yeah, but human colostrum. So he's always terrorizing maternity wards.
Oh, it's actually horrible.
Yeah. Comes in with his giant arms. Colostrum. It's just another thing.
Did you say he's got giant arms?
Well, he's a bodybuilder.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. Yeah,
it's just that at some point, you know, kind of like, you know, like COVID was, at some point we've discovered that this is just a new thing that we all have to learn to live with since these colostrum vampires arrived. And it's just a new thing. It's just a thing new moms have to deal with now as well.
Oh, as if there's not enough. Are they like, are they, you know, and hospitals have a lot of trouble eradicating superbugs.
Yeah.
Maybe they also have trouble eradicating the bodybuilders that build up in the hospitals. They're almost impossible to destroy.
Yeah, the janitors try to put antibacterial on them, but...
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
They've tried everything.
Pyre bodybuilders. There we go. Just writing that down.
Bodybuilding. What about this bodybuilding?
That kid did not sleep for more than 40 minutes, I don't think.
Yeah, that's frustrating. You've been ripped off there, Alistair.
I was really ripped off.
You are. Yeah.
It's okay. I put Booba on.
Booba.
He's a little...
I don't know about Booba.
Little hairy man. I think he must be made in Russia or something like that. And he just gets involved in all sorts of physical mishaps.
Right. Sometimes. Made in Russia, you reckon? So you're not supporting Ukraine then?
I do support Ukraine.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that all the Russian people are responsible, particularly Booba makers.
Sure. So would you have played rugby in South Africa during apartheid?
No, I wouldn't have. No, But what you don't understand is that my children are booba vampires, and they need to. They need to watch a little. Look, one of my children is literally going, ha, 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 booba right now. Booba. Booba.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to argue.
They need to drink from the nectar of the booba or else they die. But the problem is that the episodes are so short. They're like 4 minutes long. And Netflix has that thing where it's like, well, if you watch a certain number of episodes and you don't, there's no activity, it asks you, are you still watching? But that can now happen every 16 minutes because it's like every four episodes or something like that. And you're like, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Surely that should be by cumulative watch time, but not by number of episodes. No. You should be able to, you should get the same system to trigger after you've watched four episodes of The West Wing or whatever.
Yeah.
As you have.
Well, maybe, or maybe they should just bring it down to 16 minutes for every show.
And the, are you, and the, maybe the still should be italicized. So it's, are you still watching?
Yeah.
You know, 16 minutes into an episode of something terrible.
You know, of a movie. You're trying to watch Avatar 2. There's going to be...
Oh, Jesus.
There's going to be 12 of these during the movie.
Yeah. That, I mean, that could be one of their new things to encourage people to pay for premium. We won't show you ads, but we will interrupt to judge you for not doing something more with your life.
Yeah.
Periodically throughout the film.
It would probably be cheaper for them if people were subscribed and didn't watch, because it wouldn't use so much processing power. Oh,
I'm sure that would be ideal for them. Yeah, if you could come up with something like that. I suppose you need to do something like that, like the business model of gyms, where they want people to sign up, but then they don't actually want people to go to the gym. They just want them to keep paying the membership fee.
Yeah.
You'd need to build and market a Netflix that is very good for you, right? That is extremely worthy. You definitely should watch all of these shows, right? Yeah. We've got all the most profound and soul-changing documentaries. It's hard work, but if you sit through all of these, you'll become a better person, right? That's our system.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe because, you know, they look at the figures or whatever, you know, when people sign up for certain shows and things like that. And if they discovered that the people who sign up for your show that you've made, they stop watching after like 5 minutes, but they never cancel their account.
Yeah.
And they never watch. Right. I think that would be a metric where they're like, oh, we got to give this guy another season.
Yeah. I mean, oh, wow. That's a much better product than one that attracts people and then they watch all of it.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah.
This is a new kind of rating.
Yeah. I mean, that's
it has a very loyal audience of non-watchers, this show.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe.
They can't get rid of it.
How loyal they are.
They can't get rid of, in case they get an urge to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, I don't know if that's an idea, but where is your show?
Quasimodo. Quasimodo.
Yeah. You don't. There's this? Not a lot Quasimodo, of Quasimodos these days.
Quasimodo, but the hunch is on the front. What about that? Hunch front.
Oh, hunch front.
Yeah.
Just like a big. Oh, like, you know those people who have those like pigeon breasts?
Yeah, pigeon chested.
Prison pigeon thing? Prison chested.
Mm. Yeah,
that's just having big like pecs. That. I said prison chested, but I pigeon chested like that. But a hunch front. do they lean back a lot? Lean back real far?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, is his head then upside down, sort of at the back there? What happens to the head? Or is the head trying to look over the hunch?
I think
his hunch was up over his head.
Yeah, right. Well, this, I mean, I guess you could just, you could at least just picture like a big lump coming out of their chest. And then, then maybe them leaning back a little bit. But I mean, you know, it'd be very difficult to find an actor who could have that, that backwards curvature all the time, you know?
Especially a far lean. You know, there's a lot of, you know, justifiable expectation these days that if you're going to have somebody in a film portraying somebody with a physical difference, you don't just do it as cosplay. You know, you do it as you would try and hire an actor with that condition.
Yeah,
and
so you'd have to
fair and that's reasonable.
And if that doesn't really exist, you'd have to genetically engineer that condition.
Or we're only justified in hiring, you know, able-bodied actors if the condition that we're hiring them to play doesn't exist in the real world. So we've got to make up new things.
Like
Hunchfront.
I think,
and then you could get anyone
guy.
You want. You could get Brad Pitt to play the Hunchfront of Notre Dame.
The Hunchfront.
No problems.
Also, he's still of Notre Dame.
Sorry?
He's still of Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, he's still... So yeah,
he still hangs out at the church and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, the existence of a hunchback of Notre Dame implies the existence of a hunch front.
But also, does that also imply a hunch side? You know, a hunch left.
No, I don't think that's how.
Right?
That's ridiculous. That's not how. That's not how implying works.
Okay.
That's not how that joke format works.
Look, I've written down. Hunch front, and I'm going to add of Notre Dame.
This is maybe the worst idea. Maybe the worst
maybe he's
idea
the hunch
we've
front
ever had.
Of Notre Dame, that the college in America, and he plays football.
Oh,
they have a very
yeah,
good college would, side, I think.
Maybe that would be really good for football.
Yeah.
Having that big chest to push people out of the way.
Yeah. But what. What would the back lean be good for?
Well, your head is further away from the the action, I guess.
That's true.
Maybe that's
the only
healthier.
Person who doesn't end
you're
up
less
having
likely
a lot
to get a concussion.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Great for the brain. Then it's like a new everybody tries to use that technique now.
What does he do? If he doesn't ring a bell, though, does he? He would have to do something deep down in a hole.
Mm.
Maybe he cleans a well.
Well, what's the opposite of something that resonates, I guess, is something that absorbs sound. I guess it could be
a baffle, a big acoustic baffle.
A big acoustic what? Muffle?
Baffle. Baffle.
Baffle.
Baffle or... Yep, earmuffs.
Oh yeah. Yeah, or he uses.
This idea is not getting better.
No, but what about he takes like, you know, like one of those plunger things that they use it on the front of a trumpet.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But he holds a big one of those for like the town trumpet or the you know, and he comes and then he comes and holds it in front of the big trumpet to stop it from.
Yeah, great. Is that a mute? Is that called a mute? There's a name. It has a name like that.
Yeah, I think it could be a mute.
Yeah.
And
maybe he is as well. Maybe he's mute.
Well, that would be great. That would, you know, it's good because I think this movie needs a few more layers.
Great.
Then now, do you think we should go to three words from a listener?
I think everybody's crying out for that at home. So yeah, let's do it.
So these words, I don't know if you know this, but we have listeners, and these, you know, these come from, these are words from a Patreon supporter, $3 Patreon supporter, XZ Neil, or it could be XZ Nedl. Nah, it doesn't make sense.
XZ Neil. Thank you so much.
XZ Neil, XZ Neil. What a joy it has been to have you as a longtime supporter and word suggester. And Andy, would you like to try to guess what XZ Neil's words are?
Okay, the first word is mainframe.
Oh, yeah, that was icky. That was icky how far away you were that time.
I got the ick.
You got the ick. You gave me the icks. And ick is actually way closer than than your word, even though I came up with it.
Yeah, okay.
The first word is I'm.
I'm.
Yeah.
Okay, second word, feeling. I'm feeling.
That's a much closer guess because you have the beginning and the end right.
Ooh.
Right? It's I'm fucking.
Okay. I'm fucking. Wow. I'm fucking. Eggs?
Eggs? I'm fucking eggs.
Eggs. Yeah.
Let me just check. Ooh, almost the same number of letters. Almost. no, the final word is you.
Ah, he's fucking with us.
No, he's fucking us.
Okay.
Maybe specifically right. You.
Yeah, yeah. Right. You know what would be really, really great would be if you cloned yourself or possibly went through a time machine to be in the same temporal space as you, another version of yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And then you had sex with yourself. You could say, I'm fucking you.
I'm fucking you.
And then the word that would be a great pun because I'm fucking, fucking would then have both meanings. One, just for emphasis, I am you. You know, you're just saying, I am you. And then and the other sense of saying what you are literally doing.
Yeah.
In the sense of lovemaking. And I think that.
But.
I think that being able to do that great pun in that situation.
Makes it a great movie
would
title.
Would be maybe more satisfying than any of the. Other
of the actual fucking
components of that experience. Possibly.
It's because you love words. Yeah. I mean, that's something. I do have a joke at the moment where I've tried it out once and it went okay. But where I was like, oh, maybe I feel this way because I actually secretly, you know, like a homophobe that's really secretly gay. It's like, maybe I... make enemies with people who are similar to me because secretly I love myself. And so I took this theory and then I went and tested it out and I went and tried masturbating. And I got to say, I really liked it. And so now, and I didn't even realize I was into guys. Anyway,
yeah.
That's
weird. That's great.
Anyway, but then the other interpretation of this I'm fucking you could also be there's the pop star Danny Im.
Ah, yeah, sure. Danny Im.
Danny Im, sorry.
The Australian Eurovision contestant.
She was a music envoy.
Yeah,
but then, you know, what's you then? You know, it doesn't, you know, that doesn't necessarily lead us to a good place.
The one thing it has made me think of is a sort of a reverse version of the Eurovision Song Contest where countries where they do everything through music and through song and they focus on their, artistic and creative expression and they don't have any wars. They do... all select one person from their country to go and try and beat the shit out of one person from every other country. So I guess it would be a Eurovision fight
contest.
EFC.
EFC. So, but it's still Eurovision. Like it's.
What about this? EUFC. It's the European Union Fighting Championship.
I mean, there probably is a European fighting championship of some sort.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I suppose. Yeah, the fighting bit
part
doesn't 100% like feel like that's the opposite.
No, you're right.
I mean, it could be. You know, they go over to other countries to a bunch of like a very musical country goes over somewhere and they have to not. sing a song where they have to listen to a song and whoever's the best at listening to a song.
Oh, that's nice.
And all the other countries vote on how good they are at listening to a song.
Yeah, yeah. Finally.
The listening contest. I mean, I'm not saying
why
this is
not
better than the fighting thing.
No, but it is a nice idea.
The EULC.
Somebody who goes to the Eurovision Song Contest and they go onto stage, they're their country's nominee, and they go out on stage and they say, well, actually, I decided I was going to come here to listen.
Mm.
Mm. They're not going to sing a song. They're just there to use their time to...
to listen to the backing track that their country had produced for them.
Maybe. Yeah, doesn't quite work. The idea of somebody who says, we've done enough singing now. It's time for us to listen.
We've all done enough singing now. And then they just stand there for 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
Andy, this is...
Does everybody stand on stage and do that? Does everybody? Is that what everybody does?
Yeah, I think so.
With a very open body posture and, you know... a very non-judgmental look on their face.
Yeah, and you want to like, you know, I guess if it's like, if it's also, you know, if it's kind of linked to the Eurovision, it's probably very camp listening that they're doing.
Sure.
You know, they're holding their hand to their ear in that kind of stuff. Are you still there? Andy has gone. Now I have to, and he's probably, phone's probably run out of batteries or something like that. Yep, Andy's now, well, look, how about I start taking us through the sketch ideas? Because Andy's phone is gone. So here's one sketch idea. Monk extract energy drink. That's when we take out the stuff about, you know, from monks. Here is Andy. Andy, have you continued talking the whole time?
No, I have not.
Great.
No.
Oh, great. I have.
Yeah. I mean, we could also cut it out.
Oh, no. I wouldn't dare. I started reading the list of sketch ideas.
Oh, great.
Do you have that on speakerphone?
What do you mean?
Oh, I just can hear myself talking through your speaker or something.
Mm, you shouldn't do.
Okay. No worries.
Yeah. Alistair, please keep taking me through the sketches. This has been such a great episode.
Monk extract energy drink. We've got products for meditating for you so you can do other stuff. We've got all animals are into us suddenly, and it's a precursor to aliens arriving. And then a right-wing guy tries to remember how to hate. Then we've got dog digestive system hack so that we can eat the product that used to be poop. Then we've got Jugula, Dracula who drinks from jugs. Then we've got the vampire goon bag head shape. Then we've got the hunch front of Notre Dame.
The weird thing about Jugula, who drinks from jugs, is that his name, Jugula, means the vein in the human neck. Like, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a bit weird. But you know, Drac does sound like drink a little bit. I'm going to have a drink. Anyway, forget it. I tried to find the opposite. Uvula. Dracula. Is Dracula in some way related to uvula? Forget it.
Related to the uvula? Yeah,
then
we've
got
I think so.
The colostrum vampire bodybuilders.
Hate it so much.
And then we've
horrible.
Got a show that makes you sign up but not watch. Anyway, and then we've got the European listening contest. So,
oh, so good,
Andy. We've really nailed this episode.
We did it.
Who would have known?
Why is it called Eurovision? Why isn't it called Eurosound?
Yeah, Euro.
Euro audio.
Euro audio.
Euro audio. Crazy.
It's really crazy. So I think we can go boom dat boom dat boom dat
boom dat boom dat boom dat boom dat boom dat boom dat boom. Thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank. That was great that you did that.
Oh, it was so great.
Yeah, and we're slowly catching up with our Patreon episodes. The latest ones from last month should now be available.
No, they are available.
Yeah, and yeah, we're going to bring you some new ones soon as well. And we really appreciate everybody who supports us there. It's very great.
It's very great. And sorry, the beginning of the year was a little bit of a surprise fuck. you can go get tickets for Alistair Tremblay Virtual No Relation at the Comedy Festival website if that's something that you're interested in. Some tickets have moved. I'm not one of these guys who'll tell you they're moving fast because I got to say, I mean, the pace is actually, it would be very difficult to describe it as fast. If I was being truthful. Andy's book, Gustav and Henry, is now available in Spain if you're there.
That's right, as Gustavo y Rita. So if you are listening to this in Spain and you would like to read the book in Spanish, you can pick up Gustavo y Rita, three stories, three
that's
adventures,
really, that's
two
really
friends.
Lovely. So thank you very much, and I hope that you have a great life. Take care of yourselves, and
we
love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.